The code for this podcast is SSBT038. This podcast is from a series titled How to Measure Your Spirit. The section is about your spiritual survival needs, and the segment covered is prayer. This is discussion number 38 of 42, and covers the scripture reference of Colossians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Please note that the first 3 or so minutes of this podcast are a reminder of how this all works. Skip past this only if Holy Spirit leads you to. Enjoy Jesus Christ.
Well, welcome. We are covering a series of scriptures from the Bible, and this is covering how to measure your spirit, your emotions, and your earth suit. There are many scriptures that you will be able to go through. You can either do that in groups, just looking at the scriptures and speaking to the Holy Spirit. Or if you would like, you're welcome to listen to the podcasts, and those are also available. If you feel like you would like to support this work, please will you just ask Holy Spirit who it is around you that needs to be blessed. I have discovered that the Lord will provide for me. So bless other people. Bless and encourage and help and strengthen other people. So if you're following along with us in the handbook, you can download that from multidimensionalthinkers.com/a-life-is-worth-living. You'll see the handbook towards the top. There's also an Excel calculator there, so you could also use that if you wanted to. You'll be able to go to the different podcasts from there. They're on different pages. You just need to look a little further down the web page. You will see the links to those things, how to measure your spirit, how to measure your emotions, how to measure your earth. Remember that as you listen, make the keywords in the second column, and the scoring needs to be done based on your conversation with Holy Spirit, where He says to you, yeah, you've got some work to do on this one, or no, you're fine. If you're fine, then it's a 0. If you're not fine, then you mark it as a -1. And that is you giving the Holy Spirit permission to make changes in your life as far as those things are concerned.
And you can't measure it against anyone else, because everybody's on a specific journey with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's got his own agenda about how he is raising each and every one of us. So you can never compare, which means that you can also never judge the other person. But you can, and you should be loving each other along that journey. And that'll give you an indication of how strong you are. Nothing to boast about, because even if you get one that you're not great at the moment, it just means that God's growing you, right? It's good to have things that you have to fix and grow into and things like that, so that's not a bad thing. And again, you can never compare with anyone else.
Please remember that everything on the site and all of these messages are free. So don't charge for them, please, if you're forwarding them on. Almighty Father, we just pray that you open our eyes, please, and teach us what it is that you want us to know. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. This morning we're reading Colossians 4, 1 to 4. This will be the 38th scripture on prayer. This provides a good context for when you're praying. In other words, when you're going to pray, how do you approach it? With what attitude do you approach? So let's start with 4 verse 1. Masters, give unto servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. So, whenever you're praying, your relationship has got to be one of fitting into this. if you've got people underneath you in terms of work or, you know, whether they help you in other ways and even support you in ways, then you have to understand that if you're not treating them right, God, who is your master in heaven, is not going to be listening to your prayer, because he will be listening to them first. And this is a principle that gets applied in so many areas. For example, you may have a gripe or an issue with somebody else. God's not going to sort out that person until he sorted you out. Until you can forgive and walk in peace with and joy with that person, he's not going to address the other person. And so often people say, oh, I'm not getting justice, or whatever the case is. It doesn't work like that. God is not concerned about justice for you. He's concerned about your heart and your heart in relationship to him and to truth. So if you have a heart of love towards that other person that has done you wrong or whatever, then God will address that with them. But if he sees that sin is grabbing hold of you, he's going to stop addressing it with them, and he's going to start addressing that sin on you. And that sin can be anger, it can be unforgiveness, it can be any of these different things. And the reason why, and this is what he's speaking about, you see, even a young person may be a master to others because they're a role model, or they are leading. You know, you're not just a master because somebody puts you in charge. You can also be a master because you're just a good leader. People follow you. That makes you a master. Now, you get leaders who will enforce their leadership, and then you get leaders who lead out of being just and fair, making sure that they are not treated like they're an underdog. You know, it's amazing. God, as incredible as he is, he comes down to our level and engages with us at our level. And we could never engage with him at his level, but he comes down to our level and engages with us. And that's how you need to address your focus when you're speaking to the Lord. You need to say, Lord, I know that you are much greater than me. And then the next thing is, Lord, look at who I have that follows me. Look at who I have that I lead. Look at who I have who I'm in charge of. And Father, bring it to your mind to show me if I'm not treating them right. And you need to be open, you need to be ready to listen to what he says, because if he says to you that this and this and this is what you're not doing right, then you need to address it. Because God's not going to listen to your prayers when you have this to your discredit, put it that way. So let's read that again. Masters, give unto servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. And continues verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Now, this thanksgiving runs throughout the whole Bible. It means don't complain. Don't complain about anything. Give thanks for everything. You know, you don't need to have another breath in the next minute. God doesn't need to give you another breath. If he does, it means that it's there for you to experience something and understand something about yourself, your spirit, And that's how God grows you. So continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying, also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So this is Paul talking, and Paul is saying that he needs prayer. You know, there's nothing wrong with asking somebody to pray. Nothing wrong with saying, guys, I need prayer. The best prayers, of course, are prayers where you ask somebody to pray for someone else. So it's not about a selfish thing for you. It's about, you know, pray for somebody else. Somebody else needs to be blessed here. And that's what Paul's doing here. He's just saying, look, guys, I'm in jail. I can't see how I can reach people, because I don't get to see many of them. But he does say, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance, or some way to speak the gospel, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now, this is important because, remember, Jesus spoke to everyone just before he ascended, and he said, go into all the world. And preach the gospel to all. And that's what Paul's trying to do here. He's just saying, guys, I'm in jail. I can't see how I'm going to do this. Please pray for a way for me to be able to do this. You may be in your own jail. I'm too busy at work. I never get a chance to because of my family. I'm so busy trying to take care of things and to fix things that I don't get a chance to. That's also a different kind of jail. And you need to pray. You need to ask people to pray. Please just pray that I get opportunities to talk. Now, actually, Paul had the most amazing opportunity. And as a consequence of being in jail in Rome, he actually reached more people than he would have ever known that he was reaching. And so God has mysterious ways of doing that, and I'll explain what happened just now. But then it goes further and says that I may make it manifest, or make what? The gospel. That I may make it manifest. In other words, how do I pray that I can explain it? All right. As I ought to speak. Paul's acknowledging that he doesn't necessarily know the best way to bring a message across, and that each person is different, and each person has their own life, and it's so easy to say some words that just go straight over the other person's head. But you're praying that the Holy Spirit will do the work. Holy Spirit will give you the words, because he knows exactly what's going on in the other people's lives. And he'll give you insight and wisdom, and he'll tell you what to say. And you'll be surprised at how that just touches a person's heart for that moment. That's exactly what they needed. You would never have known that. So you're praying for the supernatural to operate in other people's lives. So let's talk about Paul in jail. So Paul is got his feet locked up in stocks, so he can't go anywhere. And just make certain that he's definitely not going anywhere. He had to be chained. His left hand would be chained to the one jailer, and his right hand would be chained to the other jailer. Now, as it was with everywhere, you have these bits of corruption that take place. And the jailers didn't want to sit there just with Paul all the time. So what they would do is that they would tell the servants that were in the palace, the servants that were around there, that they would have to take their shift. They'd have to go and sit with Paul. And of course, Paul can't keep quiet. As you know, as a Christian, you can't keep quiet either. You need to talk about Jesus. And you talk about him in your own particular way, given the opportunities that you're given. Well, what it meant was these servants would wind up getting chained to a preacher of note for 12-hour shifts. And in some cases, they had to make them 4-hour shifts because the people still had to do their job, but it depended on the situation. But chained to Paul, now, you can be certain that by the time they left being chained to Paul, they had heard the gospel. They knew it. They understood. They may very well have given their hearts to the Lord. When they left, they spread this information across the whole palace. Now, they knew that he was in jail, so they couldn't talk openly about it. But an underground church of immense size grew as a consequence of Paul being jailed in Rome. So while the authorities thought they had everything under lock and key, God was very busy with the common folk. And of course, they go home, they talk to their families, and the gospel just spread and spread and spread. And later on, there's actually a comment where Paul says, all of Rome knows, all of the palace knows. And it's because of this. So by praying, he'd asked the Colossians to pray. They had prayed, and God had made this amazing opportunity open that no one could have imagined praying for. And so often it's not a case of trying to know exactly what to pray for. It is about your heart. Your heart saying, Lord, give this person the opportunity. Now, if I said to you that there's a great treasure for you, and when you get to this other place, this treasure will be waiting, but you can invest in it solo, then you'd probably say, okay, so what does it cost me to invest? Well, it costs you a bit of time and a desire, a heart to help other people. So what does the treasure look like? So the treasure looks like this. You get to heaven, and somebody that you've never met comes to you and says, thank you so much that you spoke to so-and-so, and they gave their heart to the Lord, and they spoke to so-and-so, and they gave their heart to the Lord, and they spoke to so-and-so who spoke to me. I would not have been here if you hadn't done that first. If you hadn't given that message to that person at that time. And then when you add this all together, you realize that there's an entire tree with branches and leaves of events and conversations that go out from just what you said on that particular day. And it keeps branching out and growing and strengthening, etc. And now we can see it a lot more clearly on the internet, but just a conversation with somebody, just a message, just your heart, and it'll touch that person and you'll know. Sometimes you don't know that in fact the message that you gave actually made a difference. And sometimes the message that you gave was just watering a seed somebody else had planted. And sometimes the message that you give is the first seed that they ever hear. But at some point there's a harvest. And so it's important in verse 2, it says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. What are you thanking them for? What is the thanksgiving? That you know that your prayers are making a difference. And that's a fact. You read through the Bible enough times, you see how prayers get answered. Sometimes they only get answered generations later. But they get answered. And Boy. So you can give thanks for what you know God is going to do with it. But it all comes down to how are you treating the people around you, because God is not listening to you if you're not treating people right around you. So, and then of course, just remember, this is about authority and leadership. Leaders don't have authority. They have people who choose because they see some value to follow somebody. And if you have people following you, then just understand that you're accountable. And it's important that what you say and what you do is right before the Lord. So guys, if you're following along with us in the handbook, that's the 38th verse. So as the Holy Spirit speaks to you about what it is that's in your life that you need to do something about, if he says you're good, in other words, this is not where we're focusing on right now in your life, then it's a plus zero. If it's something that you've got to do some work on, it's minus 0.5. And then, of course, just remember that the second column is there for you to just make a few keywords, that when you come back to this in a 6 months or a year's time or however long you want to wait before you do it again, you'll see how busy God has been. And my goodness, I've been so blessed by seeing how busy God has been in my life through this exercise. And of course, this is about spiritual survival. How does your spirit survive? We've done eternal salvation, and this is the section on prayer. God bless you guys. Have an absolutely beautiful day.